Well, as we are gathered, I think it is possibly as many as we're going to get, but if anyone else joins in later, they're very welcome to. The themes for this morning are continuing to look at the Cahal and looking specifically at connections, building them, maintaining them, which is one of the reasons that I want to include an act of communion in this morning's worship. We will also be looking at Mother's Day, because it is, and the many aspects of that. It's not a simple act of celebration at all. But before that, let's start with a song. Let there be love shared amongst us. It is Mother's Day, and as some of you well know, it started out as Mothering Sunday. And so the idea was that you went back to your mother church, the one that you grew up in, and that was the celebration. And of course, if you're back in your home church, well, of course you're going to visit your parents. So that was the whole idea, and that's how it became Mother's Day. It's not a pernicious invention of the greetings card companies. That would be Father's Day. And so it is a time of celebration, but there are those for whom it is not a simple celebration. As most of you know, my own mother died just a few weeks ago. And although the memories are mostly good, my memories of that, it's not as straightforward a day as it has been in previous years. There are others for whom their relationship with their mother or with their child is complicated, to say the least. There are those whose relationship to motherhood itself is tinged with whatever. I found this very helpful. An American cartoonist and writer called Mary Andrew drew this for Mother's Day a couple of years ago. And I'm going to put it up on screen. And as you can see, it talks about those mothers who have lost children. We think of the mother of Sarah Everard, who has been found dead this week. And the mother's grief will be perhaps lost in the noise of the anger around that situation. Those who have lost mothers, those who have strained relationships with their mother or with their child, those who have chosen not to be mothers, and those who would want to be. There are many for whom Mother's Day is not a simple act of celebration, and then there are those for whom it is. And so what I'd like to do is call for a time of open prayer. So unmute yourself and pray aloud. I can't see you on the screen because I'm sharing, so just go for it. And pray for any of these people that you see on your screen, or anyone that you know, or for yourself. So let's pray.
Yeah, Father, we want to thank you for mothers and for motherhood. We thank you that without mothers, we wouldn't be here. But Lord, I just want to remember those who, like me, can identify with those that have lost mothers, for whom a day like today is a day tinged with memories, some of which are good and some of which are sad. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning just to reflect and to remember and to give thanks for memories. So Lord, let's pray for those like myself, like David, as he shared, like many of us gathered here this morning, who remember our mothers with love and affection, but that memory will sometimes lead us to sad places. So be with us, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we particularly pray for David this morning, Lord. Thank you that you've given him this gift to lead us this morning, but we're also conscious, as Dan has just prayed, Lord, that it's a difficult time for many. And for David, it's a particular difficult time because it's so near to him, Lord, his loss. So just pray your blessing on him as he leads us. Pray he know your presence on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I pray for those who have a strained relationship with their mothers, Father, that there be understanding and that there be bridges built, that there will be just love that crosses over. Father, just because you have children doesn't mean that they're like you or that they are people you can understand. But Father, I just pray that the love that there is would blanket over, Lord, and just be there so that there is a connection that's maintained. Father, I just pray that you will be with mothers and children today whose relationships are not where they want them to be, that you will help to guide them and to strengthen the ties of love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you know all of this, that you are in our relationships, that you know this, knew this for yourself, a relationship with family that was your earthly family that was sometimes strained. And yet, all were reconciled. And so we pray, Lord, that if there are strained relationships out there, particularly between mothers and children, that reconciliation still be possible, that rebuilding still be possible. And that for others, whose love, where the love is something to be celebrated, may this continue. May this be maintained. May this be as you would have it be. And we ask all of this, Lord, by the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that Jesus knows this, and we know that Jesus loves us all. And so I'm going to share another song. And here we are, Chris Tomlin, and Jesus Loves Me. And Jesus said, I will build my kahal, my church, my gathering of people, my collection, my bunch of friends. I want to look at how Jesus does that, and I want to base our discussions this morning around two Bible passages. And the first is from Mark. I was going to put it up on screen, but it turns out Bible Gateway is a deeply unstable website in that sense, so that didn't happen, but so I shall read from the New Revised Standard Version, Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. He went up the mountain, and he called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, who he named apostles, to be with him, and to be sent out to proclaim the message and to have authority to cast out demons. So he appointed the 12. Simon, whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is to say, sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. He called them. He called them to be with him. One of the ways that Julie and I both, we've been talking about this weekend, one of the ways we found that connects us to people is to be doing something with them, to be doing something alongside them, to be working with them or being with them. And so what I wanted to ask this morning was, does that work for you, and has it? And do you have stories you can tell of the people that you've been friends with a long time and how you got together, what it was you were doing that brought you together in the first place and has kept you together ever since? I have many stories, as you can imagine, but I'd be quite happy to tell none of them and for you lot to take over. So, yes. If you've got one, unmute yourself and chip in. Mark.
I'll get the ridiculous out of the way first. I've got my tin soldier friends.
Yes,
many have known for 40 years or more. So I think one guy I've probably known for 50 years, actually. Shocking. And we used to meet on a Friday night and throw insults at each other, et cetera, et cetera, and have a pretty good time and kind of wash away the week. So that's very enjoyable for me and hopefully them.
Well, yes. And that is exactly how it works. My oldest friend, Johnny, we will have known each other 40 years next year. And we met as students and being involved in several projects together. And yes, it continues to continue. It's great. Anybody else? Danny.
Yeah, so I'm reflecting on similar things, people I've known for a long time. But I was also, so most of those people are people that come into your life in for one reason or another. So whether it's at school and you're kind of thrown together, or whether it's through work and you become work colleagues, or whether it's through a church or a community. But you have to meet people to have that connection with them, don't you? You can't make those connections without meeting them. I know that sounds obvious, but it's worth just, you know, pointing out. But I was also reflecting on people that I've been close to over the years that I'm no longer close to because we no longer are able to meet. They might have moved away to a different part of the country and it's not been easy to maintain the connection. And over the years, that then can kind of wane. And not I've got lots of friends called Wayne, but it can diminish, can't it? And then we find maybe after a period of time that, you know, things like the Christmas cards or ways that we've been keeping in touch just kind of fall out and we're no longer in touch anymore. And it's not that either side has wanted to end the connection, but it's just that the connection has basically kind of fizzled away. So I'm thinking about it from both the way that we connect, but also the way that we can lose connection.
Yes. Startlingly enough, we'd already written that down. And so that's one of the things we'll be praying for as we get to communion. But yes, sometimes the ties break, and sometimes that's nobody's fault, which is annoying. But again, it's a thing that happens. Anybody else? Lisa?
I love to connect people, and I've connected people all my work in history, in various roles, and I connect people with friendships. It's something I love doing, is connecting with people. But I think as I've got older, I've recognised that you can't, I think it's a bit like what Danny was saying, you can't stay in contact with everybody. And it becomes a breadth versus depth type battle as well. So it doesn't matter how many friends, how many connections you have, it's the depth of the relationship that matters. And I think that's become more important to me now, particularly with things like social media, and you find out, oh, you know, got 300 and so connections on Facebook, but very few of them I have a real in-depth relationship with now. And that's not a bad thing. I think for me, it's becoming more about depth and about sincerity and honesty with those people.
Yeah. Luke, Julie.
And then there's the people you don't see from one year to another, but actually you would count them as your deepest, closest friends. And if everything in the world ended, they would be the ones you would turn to. Mm. And when you see them, you pick up where you left off. So there's a real depth of relationship there.
Yes. Yes. I can think of several of those over the years where it's been so. Funnily enough, again, John, my American friend, we didn't see each other from when I went home in 1982, having been on the student exchange, to when we met up again in 1999. That's 17 years. And apparently we picked up exactly where we left off. His girlfriend at the time, she's now his wife, talking about that first evening when we were in a restaurant after getting off the plane. And she said to a friend of hers when we were talking about it later, she said, I had no idea what they were talking about, but it was flying across the table. So, yeah. Yes. Yes. When the depth is there, the connection is still. Anybody else with the thought? Terry.
I was just going to say the same thing. There have been people over time that I've either worked with or gone to study with and kept connections with that have faded. But the minute you pick up the phone or you contact them, it's as if the years in between just sort of melt away. And exactly the same as Julie was saying, and Lisa, that you know if you contact them, it's there, no matter what. I'd prefer that some to be people I could see every day or regularly, but I still know that if I needed somebody there, I could talk to them and I could contact them.
Yes. True. This one, I could challenge you that if you've got a loose or broken connection in your life, pick up the phone this afternoon, send them a text, send them a message, give them a call, see what happens.
Can I just point out, I had that a few weeks ago. So a friend we haven't seen for about 18 months, 20 months, something like that, out of the blue phoned me, and it really made my day.
Mm. And of course, with lockdown and everything, you know, with the last year, as it's just coming up for, with the last year, connections have become frayed. Not seeing people every day, not talking to them as often. And it is perfectly possible for these things to slip from us. And yes, it sometimes does take two to tango, and you will need to make an effort in order to get connection back. But it's always worth a try, I think. The other passage that I had picked out for this morning is Jesus at the Last Supper. And it's chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. John 15. Yeah, John's Gospel. Chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. This is my commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. And I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. I have called you friends, says Jesus. And he calls them friends because he has shared everything with them. And that is a mark, as we have said and that we will see, a mark of true friendship is that you can share things with them. That you can tell them things that you can't tell anybody else. Because that's who they are to you. I know I've told some of you this before. John, over many years, John has been my 3 o'clock in the morning guy. That if something is bothering me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I could pick up the phone and ring him. It doesn't hurt that it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon for him, but it's, you know, we have been there for each other. Long phone calls at difficult times when he's been going through it or I have. And the other one listens and occasionally suggests and occasionally says, don't be an idiot. You know, these relationships. Again, has anyone else got a story of a time when a close friend did that for them or that they did it for somebody else? No need to break any confidences, but do. If you have a story to share, please share it.
Yeah. So I was talking to a friend earlier this week, and he'd been sharing a situation that was troubling him and his spouse. And I was very able to gently just point out the kind of flaw in his logic in the way that he was handling a situation. And because we've got that relationship, he knew I wasn't judging him. I wasn't condemning him. I wasn't criticizing him. I was simply pointing out that as an independent person in the situation he was describing, that he'd misjudged and that he could rethink and here are some things to think about. And because he knew that, you know, I care about him and I've got his best interests at heart, he was able to hear it and to receive it. It was a bit defensive to start with, but then he kind of, you know, listened and received it and accepted it. And I would imagine already it's having an impact.
Excellent. Anybody else with a story or a thought? Lisa?
I was with a friend yesterday who's one of my closest friends, and I've known her about 25 years. So I got to know her when I moved to Havant, and we were careers advisors together. And about 2 years after I was working, I was signed off work with depression, and it was a complete and utter devastation to me. I'd never experienced anything like I'd experienced. And I just remember sort of in that first week of getting signed off work, she was working in a college and she said, Lisa, don't get lunch ready, but I'm going to pop round and see you in my lunch break. And I was just relaying to her yesterday, reminding her that I said, you know, to the day I die, I would always remember the day she knocked on my door and bought a jacket potato with cheese in a polystyrene box to me. And that has stuck with me all these years. And it was just, she's one of the busiest people I know. And she was busy then and she's busy now. But she somehow always makes time. And to me, that's kind of genuine friendship.
Magnificent. Eric.
When I was in the Air Force, I had two mates, a Geordie from Newcastle, obviously, and a Welshman. Now, I came out of the Air Force and they went out of the Air Force. And about 50 years later, 10 years ago, we had a phone call from my daughter-in-law saying a person has asked where she works, where I lived, and I told them. I don't know whether that's right. Anyway, we had a phone call at about 6 o'clock, and Taffy with his wife turned up after 50 years and dug me out, and that friendship is still going. I sent an email yesterday just to have a little chat. So friendships, when you make friendships in the forces, they stick. It's good stuff.
Excellent. Excellent. again, it's that idea of something that's brought you together and that you're doing together. Collaboration, cooperation, working together on things.
And my reflection, David, would be the more meaningful the task, the greater the friendship.
I think there's some truth in that. I mean, it depends how meaningful you think the banter is, but there are many people that I've known for years and got to know over the years, and who've got to know each other as well. That's always a great thing. Putting people in a room together and finding out that they like each other. It's people who only met at the start of that year's rehearsal process. And you see them on Facebook and Instagram liking each other's posts and sending each other messages and saying, yeah, well done, congratulations, and keeping up with each other. And it's lovely to see. Lovely to know that you had a tiny part in that.
Does a friendship need to have a task associated with it, though?
No, it doesn't need to. But, it sometimes helps. Terry?
I was thinking that when I was younger, I got bored at work, stuck a pin in a map of Europe and decided to go to Italy for a year. And when we went over there, there was a group of six of us that were doing sort of childminding, nannying, that sort of thing. And it was quite amusing to find out that one of the girls that was there, who I didn't actually know, her mum and my mum worked together at the local co-op. Not saying that it made the friendship deeper, but the connection that was there. But because also we were living in a place where none of us spoke the language when we first got there, that made a tighter friendship group, which gradually, once we got used to the language, opened up and we brought more people in and everything like that. But still, after I came back to this country, my friend Alison married an Italian chap, and I was the only one of her friends from that time that got invited to the wedding and sat between his parents because they didn't speak English. So it was my job to translate, and boy, my head hurt by the end of the meal. But that bond within a cluster there, the language that we spoke together helped. But then that opened up and some of it flourished and some of it died off with absence.
These things happen. These things ebb and flow. There is a time for things. They have seasons. Friendships have seasons just like anything else. But yes. If the depth is there, if the bond is there, it is possible to revive it.
Yeah.
If there's a will, there's often a way. What I'd like to do, I'd like to do is again call for a time of open prayer. Prayer for friendships, prayer for maybe for friendships lost. If you've got something on your heart, then please pray it. But also prayers for friendships found and friendships maintained, and the deep connections that you've made with people over the years, and that God has been in, that God's presence has clearly been in that friendship, that relationship, and has been part of what has kept you together. So again, unmute yourselves and pray away, and then I'll round things up at the end. Let's pray.
Lord, I'm just inspired by David's words, Lord, that he read out, that, Lord, we're called to love you and to love one another. And, Lord, you are our ultimate friend. You are, you call us as friends, Lord. I just pray for every person here on this Zoom this morning and for the wider fellowship, Lord, that we would really know the truth of that. That you are our friend, Lord. You want to be with us. And Lord, through that, when we've really grasped that, Lord, you might help us grasp our own friends, Lord, that we can be good friends to others. But Lord, I pray that you might help us to grasp, Lord, that you call us to be your friends. Amen.
Father, help us to value and build the friendships, the good, positive friendships that we have. Thank you that you give us people who will stand by us and listen to us and speak honestly and openly with us. But Father, I also pray that you will protect us from those that are captive friends, those who wound, who deflate, who undermine ourselves and our self-esteem. Father, I just pray that you will be with us in judging and with not judging but acknowledging those that are true friends and those that are not, and help us, Lord, to steer away from those that would do us harm, and help us, Lord, to consolidate and build on those friendships that are given by you to us for times, for needs and for this solid consolidation of friendships and supports, both from us to them and them to us. Thank you, Lord, for all the positive friendships you have given us. Thank you, Father.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the hymn that says, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Thank you, Lord, that this is the truth of Christianity, and you are the friend like no other. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I'm just reflecting on all the different people I've known over the years, some of whom I'm in contact with and some of whom I've lost contact with. And I'm just mindful as I reflect on these people that sometimes the friendships have waned for perfectly good reasons. But sometimes they've waned because of perceived upsets or hurts. Sometimes they've waned because there's been some kind of outside interference, a third party that's got in the way. And maybe, Lord, there are friendships that have come to harm because they've not been protected by you, and the enemy has come in and upset what would otherwise have been an opportunity to, through that friendship, to share something of our love, our knowledge of you. And so, Father, I'm just reflecting that these are not straightforward things. These are not always easy things. But, Lord, there are many reasons why some of my friendships have waned. And, Lord, I want to pray that you would help me to know today what I could do to connect, to contact, to reinstate where necessary. So be with us, Lord, I pray, as we each reflect on what you're calling us to do and who you're calling us to be in those friendships. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So, Lord, we thank you for the friendships that we have had over the years, for the people we have now, and for the people that we have been able to stay in touch with. And we thank you that you are in that. And we thank you that you will help us to continue, to carry on, to maintain. And we think of the friendships lost. And we ask if there is anything that we could have done differently, or if there is anything that we could do now to reconcile, to rebuild, to bring back together. And we think of all the relationships that we have with family, with friends, with work colleagues. And we ask that you be in them. And we ask that you help us to continue to gather people to you through the relationships that we have with them, so that as we speak to them of love, we speak of you. And may the love that you have for us be reflected in the love and the care and the friendship and the relationship that we have for and with others. Let your love be present in our love, and that this may help us to build and to grow your kingdom. Lord, be with us in the relationships that we have. Help us to know what to say, what to do, who to be, to reach out to other people, whether we've just encountered them or whether we've known them all our lives. Help us to make these connections, Lord. Help us to bridge the gaps so that you may walk across and share your love as widely as only you can. In your name, Lord, and for your glory. Amen. And so we come to a time of communion. On the night that Jesus called the disciples friends, he was betrayed. And we gather at the table to celebrate his life and our lives, the life of God in the world, made flesh and blood in Jesus Christ and embodied in us. We come to remember the body that was broken, the hands that touched the untouchable, that healed the hurting and did no violence, the feet that got dusty along city streets and at the lakeshore, the arms that welcomed the stranger and embraced the outcast, the legs that entered homes and synagogues and danced at celebrations, the eyes that blazed against injustice, that knew how to cry, but that also saw the potential in everyone. We remember the belly that shared the table with unexpected people and which shook with laughter. And we remember the lips that wove stories and painted pictures of a new community and of a better world. We remember this blessed body that was broken, abused, and rejected. We come to remember that we are called to be the body of Christ. And as you, risen Christ, remember our lives, so we remember you, not only at this table, but in our lives together, that we may embody your kingdom and remember your life in the world. We give thanks for the bread and for the wine, for this timeless remember of the flesh and blood life of Jesus, broken, rejected, and yet unstoppable. In Christ we see a life that could not be ended by death, a purpose that could not be silenced by the forces of violence, and a desire deep within for the transformation of the world. And so we take the bread and we remember that on the night that Jesus called the disciples friends, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said to the disciples, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. And as you eat, do so in remembrance of me." Please take the bread or whatever it is, and please eat. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and after giving you thanks, he shared it with his friends and said, "As you drink this in remembrance of me." The cup of wine we drink together is the wine of the kingdom, the sign of God's undertaking for the life of the world. And let all who love Christ take and drink. Let's pray. Lord, we have taken bread and wine into our bodies. Now may these hands be the hands of Christ in the world, and may they do no violence. And may these eyes see those who are overlooked. May these ears listen to those who are unheard. May these voices be raised for those who are voiceless, lest our songs of praise be empty. May these feet take us where Christ leads, and may these hearts and these minds be open to the Spirit. We are called to friendship. We are called to love and to compassion and to care and to curiosity, to be interested in each other. And we are called to do all these things by the one who has done them all himself, and who by so doing spread light into the world. Now may we spread that light, share that light in our friendships, in our relationships, with the people that we know and love and care for and care about. May we be Christ-like and Christ's light in all that we do. Amen. Time for a song, I think. It's old and it's familiar, but you might not know it in this version. "Here is love, vast as the ocean." So, prayer of blessing. God of love, passionate and strong, tender and careful, watch over us and hold us all the days of our life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go out from here to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.